morning.
Morning.
It's a new technology. I'm going to be actually trying to change the slides myself this morning. We'll see how that works. If it doesn't work well, don't blame Ryan. It's my fault. I'm trying to figure out how it works. Inquiring of the Lord, but hearing what you want to hear. Inquiring of the Lord, but hearing what you want to hear. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and we're going to start off in verse 18. If you have your Bible with you, we're also going to be on the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 18. And Micah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who will entice Ahab, the king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said one thing, and another said another. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, saying, I will entice him. And the Lord said to him, By what means? And he said, I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, You are to entice him. You shall succeed. Go out and do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the desire that you've laid upon our hearts to come out here, to pause and to take a moment, spend time worshiping you and learning of your word. Lord, we call upon you to help each of us to set aside all the things that are going on in the world around us and in our own lives and just simply relax, sit back, and listen to your still small spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
2 Chronicles now, chapter 18, scooting back now to verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat, I've often wondered, has anybody ever heard of Jumping Jehoshaphat? I remember somebody saying that, and as I was studying, preparing this, I didn't take time to look it up, but I wasn't sure what the origin of that saying is. But now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead? He answered him, I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in war. Now, this is not the exact picture, but this can kind of give you a general idea of what was going on at the time. We have the northern kingdom, who is ruled by King Ahab, and the southern kingdom, which is ruled by Jehoshaphat. And what they're talking about is a land that is, which would be to your right as you're looking up at the screen, to the right or to the east of the Jordan, a city of Ramoth Gilead. And at the time, it had been conquered by Syria, which is up and to your right or northeast of Israel, which is where it is today. This is what's going on in the midst of this discussion. There are many interesting, to say the least, many interesting incidents in the life of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel gathered, at least into the promised land, as they were leaving Egypt. You may remember, if you know your Bible, as they were enslaved, as they were heading up into the promised land. That happened around 1400 BC, which would somewhere around 3400 years ago. But when they got up into that land, they didn't always do the right thing. Quite often, we see them going in extremes, running from God and running to God. We see them listening to God and closely, and seemed as though they're just totally ignoring him. I think we sort of could get a picture, maybe, when we think about the nation of Israel, maybe what some of us are dealing with in our own lives from time to time. So at some point, as the nation of Israel, again, they gathered in 1400 BC, and they become one nation. Well, eventually, they got in a fight and discussion, a family disagreement, and they separated. And they become two nations. So when you're reading the Word of God, sometimes you see, and again, you have to understand the context, sometimes when you see in the Old Testament, Israel's actually referring to the northern kingdom, the northern section of the land. And then Judah is often referring to the southern kingdom of the land. So there was two different nations, two total different nations. And again, as we see here, it's important to remember as far as we follow the incident, Ahab is in charge of the northern kingdom, and Jehoshaphat is in charge of the southern kingdom. And they're often, again, fighting each other in battle. And sometimes, in this case right here, they're getting ready to join each other in an attempt of fighting off what they consider an enemy of both of them. And we're looking at a time when the two nations were relatively at peace. And the northern kingdom was concerned. They were both concerned about a common enemy, although the northern kingdom, King Ahab, is the one who initiated this conversation with Jehoshaphat. And again, as we read, part of the reasons behind the peace between the two nations at this time was because of the intermarrying. So Jehoshaphat has his son marry one of Ahab's daughters. 18. Chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." One of the major differences between the two kingdoms, the north and the south, began at the very splitting of the nations. The northern kingdom, the king at the time, Jeroboam, the northern kingdom, the first king, he decides he's worried about his people heading down into the southern kingdom. And again, if you look at this strong, you can get an understanding of what's going on. You can see the little stars, the stars of Samaria, the northern kingdom, the capital, and a star in the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. So this original, the very first king, he decides he wants his people to stay in his land. He had a concern they were going to travel down, spend time in Jerusalem, and then maybe end up being a part of the other nation, or maybe he would lose out his kingdom. So he decides, and you can understand from a civil standpoint, it makes sense. Let's create our own worship process, and let's create our own temple, and let's set up my own prophets and priests. So that's what happens. And then the real prophets and priests of the nation of Israel, the vast majority of them, flow back down into the south. This is where we get this major split between these two kingdoms. One of them truly is serving, the northern kingdom, is serving a false god. And the southern kingdom, at least in general, and again, if you follow the history, they're not always following them either, but they're the closest at least. And they still have the temple. And you remember, God expects of them, as part of the law, they were supposed to periodically go to the temple and worship. So the northern kingdom, he thinks he's smart, he's wise, he's going to have them all set up to go to their own land, to their own temple and worship. So, and then the city, Samaria, it's one of the reasons why we get into the New Testament, we hear of the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a descendant, at least, if not physically, at least in their mind and the way they worshipped, were a part of still a continuation of what was going on here in this split. So the northern kingdom are ignoring God, and the southern kingdom are attempting to worship God. So we read about prophets. We read about the northern kingdom, Ahab, seeking prophets. He's not calling upon true prophets of God. He's calling them prophets of God, but they are not truly. They are the ones who are worshiping a false god. And speaking of King Ahab, I'll just give you one little snippet, and there's much more to read about Ahab. 1 Kings 16:3 says of Ahab, "And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." This man was not a man who sought out, truly had a desire to live for God. He may have put on airs to some extent. And again, in this case, he talks about seeking out the Lord, but he didn't truly want to know what the Lord had in mind for him. Verse 6. "But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here another prophet of the Lord whom we may inquire?" So again, you've got to understand the context of what's going on. Ahab says, let me hear all these prophets, and 400 show up. You'd think, well, he's seeking out the Lord. He wants to know what the Lord is saying. But yet he's not. He's calling upon all of these individuals who are going to show up and tell him what he wanted to hear. So we have Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat recognizes and knows this. And he says, don't you truly have another prophet? And what he really meant was, do you have a real prophet? Do you have someone who truly serves the Lord and speaks for the Lord? And again, as I said earlier, the vast majority of all the prophets and priests that left and went to the southern kingdom, there's still periodically, and there's others as well throughout the history, a few of them that stay into the north. And in this case, there was one that stayed into the north. So in some ways here, I read this and I think I want to give Jehoshaphat some slack. You know, I want to say, well, he's truly asking for God's direction. But yet at the same time, understand, he's went up there and he's intentionally choosing to side with this man that he knows is not choosing to honor God with his life. So he suggests here, let's do this right. Let's go get a prophet, a real prophet. What follows to me is kind of comical. Ahab says, sure, we have one of those. We got one of those. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom way we may inquire of the Lord. Again, he's admitting there's one out there. There's just one that I know of, that I'm aware of, that I can call out. Micah, the son of Imlah. But I hate him, for he never prophesies as good concerning me, but always evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king so. Don't say that so. This is truly a prophet of God, then he has something good and valuable to say. You see here, Ahab had no interest in truly knowing what was going on. He had already decided in his mind what was right and good, and he was going to do that. He was going to pursue that. When he asked for his 400 prophets, he was simply asking for people who already agreed with him to come and tell him what he wanted to hear. He didn't want to even hear from Micah because he recognized. He said, so often he speaks nothing of evil. You know why he quite often speaks of evil? When we see something of evil, what does that usually mean? It's something we don't agree with, right? It wasn't truly evil. It was good and right. But you see, Ahab was on the other side, so he saw good and right as evil. He did not want to hear what he had to say. And he knew in his heart he wasn't willing to listen to it anyway. I can get him, but he won't tell me what I want to hear. Can you see the danger of this wisdom? Someone who simply only wants someone to tell them what they want to hear. Someone who is only willing to listen to those who agree with them. Can you see the danger? So another comical incident happens while they're waiting upon the prophet, Micah, the one true prophet that was in the nation at that time that we're aware of. Verse 8, then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, bring quickly Micah, the son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, and they were sitting at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these You shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so and said, go up to Ramoth Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. So we have Zedekiah here. He comes out with these horns that we're told that he's made them, but I'm assuming he's made them. He's had some made. Maybe he has two or three sets of them. I get this picture that he's pulling them out on a regular basis. Whenever the kings want someone to prophesy and tell him what he wants to hear, he go grabs these horns. And I'm just picturing this guy walking around. Now, horns was a symbol of power. We read in the Bible, the Old Testament, sometimes there's terminology they use concerning God being a horn. It's this idea, this symbolism of power. So here's this man walking around holding horns up against his head and saying, oh, mighty Ahab, it's just as you say, mighty great one. It's going to be great because you said it's going to be great. We know it's going to happen. And this is going to be a powerful win for the nation of Israel. Go and do exactly what you want. Exactly what's in your heart is right. It must be because it came from you, Ahab, oh wise one. Just imagine having 400 people. It must be great to be king. Just decide, I want 400 of you. Come right here and I want you to tell me what I want to hear. And that's what Ahab was doing. And just picturing all these 400. He's talking about a prophesying. They weren't prophesying. They were simply saying, oh Ahab, oh mighty one, you are the great. If you say it, it must be great, it must be good. Can you see each and every one of us got to be careful about the wisdom that we seek, that we're not simply looking for someone to acknowledge that what we said is right and good. You see, Ahab had no interest in hearing from God. He truly didn't. He simply wanted others around him that cheered him on. Oh, great and mighty Ahab, it's exactly as you say it is. Verse 12, and the messenger who went to summon Micah said to him, behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Favorable. In other words, they said exactly what he wanted to hear. They are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. This man now, this messenger that's sent out, I can't help but think maybe he's concerned about Micah's life. Maybe he's pleading with Michael, saying, listen, you might lose your head over this. Just simply, can't you get it? Let's get along. Let's just tell the man what he wants to hear. He's almighty and powerful. He's got all these others are saying it. Just simply show up and tell him what he wants to hear. Speak favorably. 400 other people are saying it. Join in and simply agree that Micah was committed. He believed that he must say what God leads him to say. But Micah said, as the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak. I can't do anything other. It is my job as a prophet to serve God and to speak the truth. And when he had come to the king said to him, Micah, shall we? Just picture the comical, this conversation. Ahab has no interest in what he has to say. And he expects him to say something that's going to make him angry. Micah, tell me. Again, you just picture this sense of contempt. He really doesn't want to hear what he has to say. Micah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And he answers, go up and triumph. They will be given into your hand. So now it seems like everything is going wonderful for Micah, right? He doesn't have any worries because his sense of what was right and wrong at that moment was right in line with the other 400, or at least that's what it seems. Micah just says, go and do it. Yes, almighty Ahab, you are wonderful. You are so knowledgeable. You've got it all figured out, and God is simply going to bless what you said. Micah is right in line with all the rest of it said. But wait, there's more. But the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? When I read this, I begin to think in my mind, and yet I don't know exactly how it happened, but I can picture maybe when Micah comes up to speak, when Micah comes up and he begins to speak his truth, He's like looking down. He's speaking quietly. Maybe he's shuffling his feet, you know. Now the other prophets are saying, you're wonderful, you're great, you're going to do good. And in some way, I just picture, can you see it? Micah's saying it sarcastically. Oh, mighty one, you're going to get exactly what you think is going to happen. You are so wonderful. You are so great. And the king sees this sense of he's being made fun of, really, by Micah, I think. That's just what I picture happening because of his attitude and the way he expressed it. Now, you just tell me the truth. You go ahead and say what's right and truly what God said to you. Verse 16. And he said, I saw all Israel. Now this is the truth. This is the prophet of God. This is someone who is speaking for God. God had led him to say this. Understand, they did not have the word of God in front of them as you and I have. It was necessary that God quite often spoke through prophets who gave special instructions to those who are attempting to follow him. The prophet is speaking, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep and have no shepherd. And again, in the context, I believe, although I got to say I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's speaking of the northern kingdom here when he speaks of Israel. I saw all Israel, that is your kingdom, Ahab. I've seen it all scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his home in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me? But evil do you see? That's why I don't want to hear what the man has to say, because he never tells me what I want to hear. You see, I like wise men. I like prophets of God who come and tell me what I want to hear. Can you see the danger in this? Seeking for someone simply to justify your actions. A king just wanted to hear the truth that he saw. And that is, if it's right and good in my mind, then it must be right and good. And I want everyone around me simply to tell me that. Can you see that danger? Not only as a leader of a nation, but also us as individuals. Didn't I tell you, Jehoshaphat, he's not going to have good things to say? Sadly, he was saying the truth. So here we have, again, considering the two different kings, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, I'm wondering where you might see yourself. Ahab, on the one hand, had no interest in hearing it, wasn't going to pay attention to it. Jehoshaphat, he pretended as though he wanted to hear it, right? Now, he had some semblance of, and really when you look at the rest of the history of Jehoshaphat, there's some semblance of him seeking to serve God, but at least in this case, now he asked, you know, hey, can we get a real prophet? Can we get someone to really, truly share the truth to us? And yet here when he heard the truth, telling them that devastation was going to come from this battle, and yet both Ahab and Jehoshaphat followed through. I'm not going to read any more of it to you. I'm going to leave it to you to go back. If you want to read the rest of what happens, just read out the rest of that chapter. The two kings do go against the Syrians, fight them out, even though the prophet of God told them, this is not right, this is not good, this is not the pathway that you should be taking. So what does this mean to us? This is this old ancient history in a nation that we've never maybe even physically laid our eyes on or at least been to. Let me ask you this morning, are you inquiring of the Lord, but only hearing what you want to hear? As you were listening to this incident in the nation of Israel, could you see yourself possibly being in one of those situations? You know, whether you might see yourself as being Ahab, having no interest in what anyone has to say unless it agrees with you. Or maybe Jehoshaphat, you know, a little wishy-washy. Maybe I want the truth, maybe I don't. Let me hear it, but I don't know if I'm going to put it into application. But I want to hear it, you know, because I think there's just some value of hearing it. I don't want to put it into application. Maybe you see yourself as one of the false prophets going around telling people what the truth is, even though you can't back it up with the Word of God. Or maybe, praise God, you can see yourself again, in the same shoes of a prophet, of the true prophet of God, and that is having a desire not only to live a life that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also a life that attempts to help others who are legitimately seeking out the truth. Both of these individuals heard a message from God, but yet, can you see, neither one of them got value in it because they weren't listening. I believe with all my heart God is speaking to us today. Yes, He's doing it in many differing ways. There is not a necessity for a prophet to come to us in the way that Micah came, because the Word of God says, in a sense, Jesus was the last prophet that we need. Not to say that God's not speaking through individuals today. Listen, I believe with all my heart He is. But I also believe it is not necessary for us to sit around and wait for someone. We can pick up the Word of God ourselves. Praise God. We can search it out. We can seek His help. And the Bible also promises us that those of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ, as we attempt to follow His path, the Holy Spirit comes within us and helps us to recognize and to know what's right and good for our own lives. My question for you this morning is, I believe God is speaking, but are you listening? I'm not talking about audibly hearing it. Listen, both Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they heard it, but it didn't do them any good. There was no value. If you're coming to church on a regular basis and hearing something that comes from the Word of God and not applying it, understand it's not bringing you value. It's not bringing you any value. Are you truly listening? Are you having a desire of saying, God, what's in this for me? In what way, shape, or form should I change my life? Or should I change my life in a way that brings honor to you? I want to read to you something out of James in the New Testament, where James, one of the focal points of his letter is getting us to not only say it, but also follow it, live it out. And he has a statement there in chapter 1, verses 5 and 8, speaking of seeking the wisdom of God. And you can see this is neither Ahab nor Jehoshaphat truly, really followed this viewpoint. Verses 5 and 8 of James 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You see, he pictures this idea of a loving, caring, and I hope you had a loving, caring parent, a loving, caring father or mother, or someone who raised you and took care of you. He's giving you this idea that someone who you love and care for, you go to them, obviously they're going to give you some wisdom, some direction. You see, I can tell you, Kelsey can probably share, she's a few, and so should my other daughter, that her mother and I don't have all the answers. Right? I'm limited in what I can say and what information I can give. And sometimes I just got to flat out say, I don't know. Praise God, I serve a God that can never, He's never in that situation to say, I don't know. He knows the truth. And James says, listen, He wants to help you. It is His desire to help you. But, he says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now listen, I don't believe at all James here is telling us that if you ever wrestle with your faith, if you have any doubts at all, you'll never learn anything from God. That's not what he's saying. We all wrestle with some doubts. Is that really God? Am I hearing from Him? Was that true? Is this right? Is this? We all wrestle with them to some extent. But the point is, if you truly want to hear wisdom from God, you've got to start with, Lord, what do you have for me? Just what do you have for me? You don't go with it like Ahab and say, God, this is what I want. Now tell me how it can happen. And you don't go with Jehoshaphat saying, God, what is your wisdom? I'm not going to listen to it, but go ahead and tell it to me. Can you see here, James says, you're double-minded. You're never truly going to obtain the wisdom. And you're never really going to bring any value to it because you're not putting it into practice. Don't expect to learn anything from the God if you're not willing to say, Lord, start out with the right intention. Lord, what would you have me to do? I have a desire to do it because I know it honors you. And ultimately, listen, I also recognize that it's what's right and good for me. It's what's right and good for me. Listen, as you're seeking out God's wisdom, you may find that you need to absolutely turn around. That you need to do something that's totally opposing of what you were doing. If you truly want His wisdom, you've got to be open-minded and be willing to be turned by God. He always has good in mind for you and I. I want to close with a quote from a bear. Winnie the Pooh had some wise thoughts. Now, he's attributed to saying this. I always get to where I am going by walking away from where I've been. I wish I could do a Pooh voice. Anybody do a Pooh voice? Can you see the wisdom in that? I always get to where I'm going by walking away from where I've been. Such a simple statement. But can you see, that's a godly truth. It's not a verse straight from the Bible, but I'm telling you, the intent is there. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now that you need to walk away from. That you need to totally make a left turn or a right turn or a 180. Is God calling upon you? Has He been putting some pressure upon you? Is he expressing in your heart and your mind that there's something that you need to change? I want to encourage you. If you want to find value in that moment, in that case, and even on for the rest of your life, then listen as the Lord speaks. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for these examples that we see as we look into the Old Testament. We ask You to help each of us to take a moment and look and survey our hearts as to where we fit in this incident. Lord, help us to truly have a desire to hear and be willing to respond to what You would have for us. Lord, if there be anybody here right now that's hurting and wrestling with something in particular, Lord, I pray this would be the day that it would make a decision that would bring honor to You and they would find that peace that surpasses all understanding that You willingly give to us as we search to live our lives in a way that honors You. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. What do we have?